Hey everybody, hope you're enjoying ASP.conf this far. Thanks for coming out to my Kendo UI session, Lighten Your Load by Adding a Sword. Just to explain the reference to that a little bit, Kendo UI, or the word Kendo stands for Way of the Sword, so hence Lighten Your Load by Adding a Sword. And we'll get into how adding Kendo UI will allow you to lighten the load in your developer tool belt. So let's get started. So first, a little bit about me. I'm a Microsoft ASP.NET MVP. I'm a senior software engineer with a company called Skyline Technologies. We're based up in Wisconsin, so we have offices in Green Bay, Milwaukee, and Appleton. I've been developing software for over 10 years with primary focus on the Microsoft Web Stack. I'm a speaker at the local, regional, and national level, and I'm also an author for MSDN and Pluralsight. And I will have a Introduction to Kendo UI Pluralsight course coming out later this year. So what's on tap? We're going to talk about what Kendo UI is, what it offers, and why you should be using it. We'll cover how to download, install, and add Kendo UI to your web page. We'll cover web widgets, the data source, MVVM framework. We'll also cover some more stuff as far as theming and some advanced topics given the time that we have. So what is Kendo UI? Kendo UI is a framework for building modern interactive web applications. It's a JavaScript framework. These days, people expect rich, fluent, interactive websites, and in order to do that, you must take advantage of client-side technologies and tool sets, which Kendo UI provides. From a bits and source code perspective, Kendo UI is just like any other JavaScript tool set, in that when you're done installing it, what you end up with is a number of JavaScript files, cascading style sheets, and images added to your project. So Kendo UI leverages the client-side technologies used today to make rich, immersive web applications, including JavaScript. So JavaScript has been making a huge resurgence, which is great because it allows you to do some outstanding, fast, fluent things with your web applications on the client side. And if you've been avoiding JavaScript to this point or doing it just because it's a necessary evil, I highly suggest you get comfortable with it because it really is a skill set that you need to learn. It also leverages HTML5. So HTML5 is the latest version of the HTML specification, whose goal is to standardize the way developers code next-generation online applications. And CSS3, that is also the latest version of a specification, in this case the CSS specification, and it provides additional functionality for styling next-generation responsive web applications. Just a side note, both HTML5 and CSS3 are works in progress, but a lot of the core functionality is already supported by the majority of browsers. And lastly, it leverages jQuery. So jQuery is the extremely popular, community-driven JavaScript library that makes dealing with the DOM using selectors much easier than it used to be in the past. So what do we get? Now that we know what Kendo UI is, let's talk about its feature set. Kendo UI provides an extensive collection of rich UI widgets, so we'll talk about these in a little bit. It also provides a client-side data source that makes working with both local and remote data much easier, an MVVM framework for automatic two-way data synchronization, a templating engine for creating clean reusable HTML, and a validation framework for providing client-side input validation. So all that comes in one package. This is where we're referring back to the lighten your load, right? So you no longer have to go out and download all these things. So why? At this point, you may be asking yourself, why Kendo UI? What is the benefit of using Kendo UI over the wide array of other tooling that is available? First of all, Kendo UI provides all the tooling you need in one package. There's no longer a need to go out and download the half dozen or so libraries needed for modern web development. That not only makes your development experience when setting up your development environment much easier, but it allows the different parts of the toolset to work more efficiently together. Next is performance. Kendo UI has been developed from the ground up with performance in mind, and no shortcuts have been taken along the way, which has resulted in an extremely performant toolset. So unlike all the other tool sets that you just go out and download, they're all done by different authors. They aren't necessarily made to play nice together, and that can cause performance issues. And lastly, it's support. Kendo UI is a product of Telerik, and Telerik offers top-notch support. Now don't get me wrong, the community support provided by other open source tool sets is awesome, but in the end, you're at the mercy of the community to answer your question. And having professional support available for a product makes a huge difference in a lot of dev shops, especially those in the corporate environment. Now, these three points are really high-level benefits of using Kendo UI. We'll cover more specific reasons throughout the presentation. So browser support is crucial when choosing any type of web tooling. There's nothing worse than finding the perfect tooling for the solution, only to discover that it's not supported on the majority of browsers you need to target. So a lot of diligence was put into making sure that Kendo UI is able to run on the vast majority of browsers and browser versions. So as you can see, Kendo UI is supported on Internet Explorer 7.0 and better, Firefox 10.0 and better, all versions of Chrome, Opera 10.0 and better, and Safari 4.0 and better. With the broad browser support that Kendo UI offers, you can feel confident that just about everyone accessing your site will be able to get the full experience that you intended as a developer. So let's talk about downloading and installing. It's very simple and straightforward. You can download Kendo UI from the Kendo UI website, which is kendoui.com. And because Kendo UI is a pure JavaScript toolset, installation is as simple as unzipping what you downloaded. So we can go out and download from kendoui.com. We unzip it. And when we unzip it, we get a collection of JavaScript files, content, so images and CSS files, as well as a great set of examples. And I really suggest you take a look at the examples. There's full source provided for all the examples. There's a great web interface for navigating the examples. And you get examples for the widgets as well as all the framework components. So you'll get examples for all the UI widgets as well as the MVVM framework, the validation framework, the client-side data source, the drag and drop, all of those tooling. Now that you know all about Kendo UI, you know don't want to add it to your web applications. And since Kendo UI is a pure JavaScript framework and consists of only JavaScript files, cascading style sheets, and assets, adding it to your web application takes just three simple steps. So when you unzip it, you'll get a JS file that includes all of the Kendo UI JavaScript files. So you copy those into a JS or wherever you keep your script files in your website. And then you do the same thing for the styles. You get a styles directory as well when you unzip it, and all of that needs to be copied into where you keep your CSS and your other assets in your website. And lastly, you need to register the scripts in CSS just like you would any other JavaScript toolset. So here's an example. As you can see, I'm registering the Kendo UI web set toolset, which includes all the web UI widgets, the MVVM, the validation framework, drag and drop, templating, all of that. There are separate registrations for web, mobile, and the data viz, and we'll cover those later. So as you can see, I referenced two style sheets. So I linked to two style sheets, the kendo.com and .min.css and the kendo.default.min.css. The common is obviously the common, all the common CSS properties. And the default refers to the theme, so in this case I'm using the default theme. There's five or six themes that come out of the box. And then secondly, you'll see I have two script references that I'm making. Kendo UI leverages jQuery, so you need to reference the jQuery.min.js, and jQuery comes along packaged with the Kendo UI framework. And then you also need to reference the specific JavaScript file for the piece of Kendo UI you're using. In this case, I'm using the web, so I have kendo.web.min.js. So web widgets are a collection of HTML5 controls that are based on jQuery core, not jQuery UI. There's been some misrepresentation there. These are not extensions of jQuery UI. These are widgets that are based on jQuery core, so they use jQuery core, but they're designed from the ground up, from a clean slate, to be standalone widgets that are very performant. They're for web and touch-enabled desktop development, so you could do these with a Win8 app. And like the rest of Kendo UI, they have been developed with performance in mind. We kind of touched on that earlier. There's a lot of available widgets out of the box, as you can see, all the common ones. Date picker, drop-down list, numeric text box, all of the standard basic ones, but you'll also see things such as a panel bar, slider, and a splitter, so more UX stuff. Time pickers, tree views, an upload window, so a pop-up modal window, and you'll see the standard Telerik grid, which includes all the things you'd expect from a Telerik grid with client-side paging and sorting and aggregates and grouping, so it's very robust. So usage. Because Kendo UI web widgets are based on jQuery, using them is very similar. First, you write some markup. So here you can see I have input ID equals date of birth. And then you initialize it. So inside my document ready function, I am assigning element with an ID of date of birth, and I'm calling the kendo date picker on that element that comes back from the selector to initialize the date picker. So if you've used jQuery UI, this should look very familiar to you. There's also another way to initialize, so there's declarative initialization. So here you can see in my markup I have date of birth as the ID, but then I have a data-role, so I'm leveraging the HTML data-dash attributes. If you're not familiar with the data-dash attributes, it's a way of putting specific attributes on your HTML elements, and anything after data-dash, you can put anything after data-dash, so I could put data-foo here, and it would actually be valid HTML. So if I ran this through an HTML validation process, anything after the data-dash would be ignored technically, and my HTML would still be valid. So you don't have to, you no longer have to go and put in these funky element attributes that cause your HTML to be invalid. So those are the data-dash attributes. So we give it a data-dash role of date picker, and then in my initialization, you'll see that it's a little different. Inside my document ready function, I call the kendo.init function and pass in the element that I want to init. So I have a jQuery selector there grabbing the ID of date of birth. And then kendo UI looks at the data-role and knows that it needs to initialize it as a date picker. This is personally the implementation I prefer, as I'm able to look at the markup and know exactly what the control is being implemented as. So configuration. As you would expect with any third-party suite of controls, the UI widgets are extremely configurable. There's multiple ways to do it. Documentation on the configuration options can be found on the Kendo UI website, where each widget has its own page dedicated to how it can be configured, and that's just docs.kendoui.com. So how you configure your widgets depends on which method you chose when initializing your widgets. So if you use the basic non-declarative initialization that we first looked at, where we just had an ID of date of birth, then you would need to configure by providing the JSON formatting settings, like in the first section here, to the widget's constructor. So after our jQuery ready function, when we'd have our selector and apply the kendo.datePicker, then inside of here I would have JSON formatted entry for each setting. In this case, I'm setting the format. And I can also do it in the case that I've used the declarative initialization with the data role, I can declare it directly in the markup. So data source configuration. Widgets that are data driven, such as the combo box, the autocomplete, and the grid, have a data source that provides the data required for the widget to function. And like general configuration, the manner in which you configure your data source depends on how you configure the corresponding widget. So if you use, again, if you use the basic non-declarative initialization, then you would need to configure by providing and by setting the data source property in the widget's constructor. So here I have the widget's constructor again, and I'm setting the data source equal to this JavaScript array. If you use a declarative initialization, then you can use the data attribute to configure your widgets. So here I have the data-source, so I'm setting the data source equal to that JavaScript array. So again, how you configure is based on how you initialize your widgets. So here there's multiple ways to do event binding here. As you can see, combo boxes. And down here I have events. So the on color change, on shape change, and on size change for all my pickers. So I have a color picker, that one, color change, shape picker, shape change, size picker, size change. The first way to declare the event here is define it directly in the constructor, like we talked about before. So on color change, I'm setting to the change. And then there's also the init here with the data. So data-change would get on shape change. And then there's a third way that'll work no matter how you declare or initialize your widget. So if you initialized with the standard initialization or the declarative initialization, you could use this version, which is basically grab a hold of the entity and bind to it. So you call the .bind method, passing in the event and the callback. And the actual bind occurs to the client-side data object. It's not actually on the size picker. you know that I'll, notice I'll have sizePicker.bind, and I'm actually binding to the client-side data object and not the actual HTML element. So let's talk about the client-side data source. Client-side data source is an abstraction for working with client-side data that simplifies data binding and other data operations. It supports a local data source, such as arrays of JavaScript objects, as well as remote data, including XML and JSON. There's full support for CRUD operations, and there's client and server-side support for sorting, paging, grouping, and aggregates. So think of this as an easier way, kind of an abstraction, to deal with all the different types of data that you're getting back from your server side and how to deal with that on the client side. So first we'll talk about local data. So local data is just, I have a local array of JavaScript objects. In this case, I have an array of cars. Then I create a new Kendo UI data source. So you can see here I have new kendo.data.datasource, and I'm setting the data property equal to my cars JavaScript array. And then I call local cars.read. Anytime you create a data source, you always need to do the read method on it in order to read in the data. And lastly, I set the data source inside the initialization of my grid. So I'm setting the data source of my grid equal to the cars. And there's actually a typo there. That should be localcars.read. So if you're following along at home, that should say localcars. All right. And now remote data. So we usually don't just create local data in our JavaScript and use that to run our website. So this is an example of using remote data. I'm using the Netflix OData stream. So in this case, I'm creating a new data source and I'm setting the type. In this case, it's going to be OData. And I'm setting the transport level to read and supplying the read URL. If I was doing updates and deletes, I would also have an update and a delete URL. In this case, I'm only doing reads. And again, I'm calling the movies.read here. And then I'm assigning inside the initializer of my data grid, or my Kendo grid, I'm assigning the data source to the movies that I've read in. So pretty straightforward for local and remote data. So that was the data source. Let's talk about the MVVM framework. So Kendo UI provides an MVVM framework that allows you to manage complex HTML and JavaScript UIs with declarative bindings. Automatic two-way data synchronization, dependent properties, and of course, again, it's very high performance. It's given up some of the syntactic sugar of other MVVM frameworks for more of a high-performant framework. So here's an example of the MVVM. First, we have our view model. So if you're not familiar with MVVM, it stands for Model View View Model. And the actual view model is going to exist strictly on the client side. It'll be mapped typically from a server-side model. So my simple view model has two properties. It has a make, so we're dealing with cars again, and a message is visible, which is a dependent property, which we'll talk about, and that gets derived from another property in the view model. And then I also have a method, a show message method, that displays an alert box. And you'll see here that I have kendo.observable. So if you've used Knockout or any of the other MVVM frameworks, this is how you declare, in Kendo, this is how you just declare an observable object. So observable means that someone can observe it and it can listen for other changes within the view model. Next, I have my markup. It contains a text box with its value bound to the make property of our view model. And we also bind the value update property is bound to key up. So the data-value.update equals key up. So that means the input will update as soon as the key is up in the text box. Then we have a span whose visibility is set to isMessageVisible. So this is an example of setting the visibility based on the property in the view model. And inside the span is a label that is also bound to the make property. So I have a label that's going to update when the input box changes. And finally, we have a button whose click event is bound to the show message function in the view model. So I can use the MVVM framework to do the binding of my events. So here I have data-bind equals click show message. So I'm binding to the show message function inside my view model. So once we have our view model declared and we've created our markup, we need to hook the two of them together, and we do that using the kendo.bind method. The first parameter is a selector to the container we're binding to. So if we look up here, we have the ID of my div is MVVM basic, and I'm binding, my container is MVVM basic. So we're binding the view model to that container. So the first parameter is a selector getting the container. And the second parameter is the actual view model. So this container, this div ID MVVM basic, is being bound to the view model that I'm passing in here. So let's take a look at that in action. Let's pull up an example here. So if we look back at our view model here, by default, our make is set to Ferrari. So when I pull up my page here, you can see I have Ferrari in here. And as soon as I start typing, because I did the key up, you can see that it's changing. And as soon as I'm typing, tab off or anything else, you can see that my message is updated. And as well, when I click on my button, we use the MVVM framework to wire up our event click, so then we can fire our event as well. So that's all things I could do I've been able to do client-side for a long time using plain old JavaScript and more recently jQuery. But this implementation requires a lot less code, and the wiring is done automatically. So I don't have to listen for changes. I don't have to have my JavaScript write a key-up event handler for my text box. That's all handled by the MVVM framework. So if you've used WPF or Silverlight in the past, you should see some close ties to how data binding is done in those technologies. And it's always been something that's been missing from the web technologies. Templates. So Kendo UI also provides a templating engine that allows you to create reusable HTML chunks that can be automatically merged with JavaScript data. So this is a way of having reusable HTML and being able to pass in data, whether it be a view model or whatever it is, and have that HTML rendered template-wise on the page. So in the past, we've done this with string concatenation and string formatting. More recently, we've used JQ template or jQuery temple, which is no longer being supported. There are some other new templating engines, JS Render. But again, these are all tools that are all built to mesh and be very performant. All right, so again, reusable HTML, heavy emphasis on performance, and the pound character is what is used for template notation. And we'll take a look at this now. So here we have an example of a template. We have a JavaScript object that contains our data. So in this case, our data is, like I said, a JavaScript object. It has a list name, which is set to My Dream Cars, a array of JavaScript objects, which represent cars that have a year and a make and a model. Next, we have our script that defines our actual template. So we are using script blocks to define our templates in this case. First line inside of the script block is an H1 that will be populated with the list name that comes from the model that's being bound here. And then I have an unordered list, and I'm looping through doing a for each on the unordered list and creating LIs that will include the make and model of the car. And up top we have our container, our empty container that will basically be where the template is rendered. And finally we have the code that gets the template HTML So it's doing a selector on the template block, which is a script block, and it's getting the HTML inside of there. And then it creates the template using our data. So you can see our local data variables being passed in there, and it renders it into our container element. So pound container is our empty div up here. And we can run this, pull up an example of this and run it. And as you can see, nothing all that exciting, but it was able to render my template, so I have my dream cars, which was my title that got rendered up here inside my H1, and then it looped through each one of my cars and it created a LI. Well, first it created the UL, and then it looped through each one of the entities in the cars array and created a LI with that, with the year and the make and the model. So again, a contrived example, but you could see the power of that for any list generation that you're doing and you want to provide a template. So up next is the validator. So validator is a client-side validation framework built on HTML5 form validation, but unlike HTML5 form validation, the Kendo UI validator implementation has the same wide browser support that Kendo UI has. So currently, if you've ever tried to use the HTML5 form validation, it's very sparse and on what browsers support what validation. And in this case, we have the same browser support that we have for Kendo UI core. So all of Kendo UI, the support for the validation is the same as all of Kendo UI. Looks like we have a fan of the Aston Martin Vantage Roadster. I don't know if that list, I wouldn't pick that. I'd go for the Lamborghini Aventador, but that's just me. Anyways, back on tracks. So again, client-side form validation, it's built on HTML5 form validation, and it uses shims and polyfilling so that if the HTML5 form validation is supported by the browser, then it allows that to take hold. And if not, it shims it and polyfills basically and uses the built-in or the Kendo UI engine to do the validation. There are built-in rules that we'll talk about. So the built-in simple rules, and then there's a very intuitive way for creating very complex custom rules as well. So here's an example of the validator. To start off, we have some straightforward markup. So I have three fields and three labels. And you can see my first field, year, takes advantage of the HTML5 form input type of number, which requires it to be a numeric value. So that'll also, if HTML5 number input isn't supported, then Kendo UI will take care of that. And it's also a required field, and it has a min value of 2000 and a max value of 2015. And then there's the make field, so the make of the car. Its basic input type is text, and it's required. And then we have the model, which again is just the basic input that is required. And then we have an input button, so standard data entry form. Inside our document ready function, we have the code that hooks up the Kendo UI validators. So this is getting our container. That's our top level div ID is container. And it's calling the Kendo.validator function on there. And it's getting the .data Kendo validator. So it's getting the actual client side object and applying the validation to that. And then inside our save event, we're getting that container and we're calling validate on it. So that'll run through all the validation that's on the container. And if it's valid, we'll call the save method. If it's not, then we'll bubble it back up. Before we run this code and take a look that it actually works, I want to look at an example of creating a custom validator. And in this case, if you've been noticing the cars that I've been putting up on my list, I see the guys on Jabber are talking about it. I want to create a validation rule that stops users from adding any Fords to our list. No offense to anybody that out there that's a Ford guy. I just don't want any Fords on my dream car list. Maybe a Ford GT500 or something, but this is a strictly non-Ford list. All right. So we have this example. It looks pretty much the same as the last one for the most parts, except for down here. So here I have a custom validator, and I add custom validators inside the constructor for my Kendo validator. And inside there's a rules property. And in the rules property, I'm going to create a new rule. And I'm adding a rule called noFord, and I'm assigning it to a function. Inside the function, I need to make sure that we're dealing with the actual input field. So that in this case, I want the make field, so the maker of the car, the manufacturer. And then we want to check the value of the input and return true if it doesn't equal Ford. Otherwise, the field is invalid and return false. You are getting all the input back here, and that's why we need to be specific. So we're getting anything that is marked with a Kendo validator, basically. So we need to be specific and look for where the name is make. And as part of creating a custom validator, I need to define the validation message I want displayed. So here I'm in my messages object. I'm creating a no forward entry, so it needs to match the validator that you or the validation rule that you created. And then I have my message. And you would use this same syntax for creating custom validation messages for any of the built-in validators as well. And now we can go over and take a look at our demo. So here I have my demo. First, I'll test my Ford. Now, if I put Ford in here and tab off, I get my Ford message. But if I put something other than Ford in here, see that it works. And if I click save, you can see I get my required field validators. If I try to put anything in here less than 2000, I get that validator. So another functionality that Kendo UI provides, that other frameworks provide, there's a jQuery validate framework. But again, this is all one package. There's no need for me to go out and download a plethora of packages and have to maintain a plethora of packages as far as versions and etc. And I can just get it from Telerik or from Kendo and have support and everything in one package. So mobile. Let's talk about the mobile aspects. So this is a huge aspect of the Kendo UI offering. The first line there is huge. There's native UI on every device. So for a long time, we've dealt with these tool sets that have the write once, run everywhere. I like to say the write once look horrible, run somewhere, right? They tend to, they're always usually Apple focused or iOS focused, since that's the majority of the market for, as far as how the UI is rendered. If you look at jQuery Mobile, that's definitely an iOS looking implementation. But here we have truly native UI on every device, native looking UI on every device. And that's for iOS, Android, and BlackBerry. So no matter what you're running on, it'll take advantage of adaptive rendering to render a truly native feeling UI. There's also smooth, natural, and touch-friendly scrolling, which is they're trying to really get the native app here. If native apps always scroll much more smoothly than non-native apps, so web-based applications on a mobile phone or tablet. And Kendo UI has put a lot of effort into getting the fluid, kinetic scrolling that you'd expect from a native application. It also automatically handles common elements such as title, nav bars, etc., as far as different orientations. So when you're flipping from landscape to portrait and vice versa, then Kendo UI automatically handles displaying and reformatting your common elements like headers and footers and your navbars. And there's also recently, I didn't have time to get it into the slides, but there's been some great advancements as far as what Kendo UI can do with tablet. So there's some iPad specific controls that will also render very nicely on the other tablets, the BlackBerry tablets and the Android tablets as well. So let's look at a demo of Kendo UI Mobile. All right, so these are demos that are available from the Kendo UI site that I've configured for our little demonstration here. And I'm also using Canary, so the Chrome Canary, and that allows me to switch the user agents. So here I'm using a BlackBerry user agent. So you can see I have overridden my user agent to be a BlackBerry 9900. I'm not sure what that is, some kind of BlackBerry. And you can see I have a BlackBerry looking UI. I'm not sure why my buttons are not correctly displayed here. But this is a very BlackBerry looking UI. So a BlackBerry formatted scrolling, the BlackBerry looking lists, and such. So I can go in and change that. And again, this is all just standard markup. There's no separate markup for BlackBerry versus Android versus iOS. So if I go in and I change this to Android 2.3, for some reason it always does that. And I refresh, you can see I have a very Android-looking application. Scroll around here. This is definitely an Android-looking picture scroller. Nothing like wanting to be on vacation while you're watching this. All right. And then, of course, it also handles the iOS. So I change this to iOS 4. And then you can definitely see that I have an iOS-looking application. So I have my iOS picture scroller, very iOS looking sorted or grouped list here, and iOS buttons. So again, this is all based on code over in Sublime Text. So this is the same page. As you can see, it's just a bunch of ULs and LIs applying some layouts, nothing specific to any of the devices. So using a single code base with the Kendo UI mobile toolset, I am able to have a truly native look and feel on the three major devices. So again, if you're looking for anything for mobile tooling, what you should be using and not able to go native because it's not your expertise, you're able to use your HTML skills and render truly native look and feel applications. And you can even go as far as introducing PhoneGap to do your packaging for you and actually deploy these directly to the App Store to get truly native look and feel plus the ability to get it from the App Store rather than having to go to a browser. What about MVC, right? We're at the ASP Comp, formerly known as the MVC conference, right? MVC Comp. I'm a Microsoft guy. I'm assuming most of you are Microsoft guys. So let's talk about how we can specifically use Kendo UI with MVC. MVC has some great HTML helpers that allow us to more easily write HTML. We can write, you know, display for and input for and text box for, excuse me, and be able to have the engine render that for us and bind it to our model. So MVC, Telerik and Kendo UI have been working on a set of extensions that were just recently officially released that add HTML helpers to the Kendo UI framework. So we're able to take advantage of HTML helpers and generate our Kendo UI widgets And we can look at an example of that here. If I can find Visual Studio. All right. First, we'll walk through what we need to do to get MVC installed, or get is Kendo UI for ASP.NET MVC installed. I'm going to pull up the Kendo UI site here. It's KendoUI.com. If you haven't seen the Kendo UI site, I suggest definitely go out there. It's got lots of great documentation. And they recently put the documentation on GitHub. So if you find any issues or want any enhancements to the documentation, you can pull it down and change it and put in a push request. And if you do that before the 17th, they're picking from the list of people that have made submissions and giving away an iPad. So that's pretty cool. So if I go to the purchase, it's actually a separate SKU. So Kendo UI Complete for ASP.NET MVC. And you'd go and download that. And because it is not strictly a JavaScript framework at this point, we need to reference it. So we download it and install it, and we need to reference it. But after that, it's pretty much the same is how we use it. So if I go into my layout page, you can see here I'm referencing jQuery min, which is part of the Kendo UI, and the Kendo CSS classes, and kendo.asp.net mvc.min.js. And all of those will come down as part of the install, and you copy those into your scripts directory. So here I have all my Kendo scripts, and your content directory, which will have all of your Kendo CSS and themes. And after that, it's pretty much like using any other markup in MVC with the HTML helpers. So here I have html.kendo.datepicker.name is birthday. So all that's going to do is render an HTML or a date picker for me. So if I run that, you can see there it created my Kendo date picker for me. And I didn't have to write the markup for it. I was able to use the Kendo MVC extensions. And I could do the same thing. I don't have a model here, but I could do so you can see here I have date picker 4. So I could supply, just like I do with the built-in MVC HTML helpers, I could supply my model property and have it generate that for me. You can also use, we didn't talk about the data visualization tools that are part of Kendo. I'll pull those up real quick. So data visualization tools allow you to do interactive data visualizations. So if you've ever tried to code without using a third-party control, creating charts and graphs is very difficult, especially ones that are interactive such as this. And these are just standard HTML being bound to a data source of some sort, and it creates the HTML specific markup for creating charts. And if you've ever dealt with third-party controls, they usually have some kind of viewer that comes along with it. That doesn't seem to work in every browser, definitely doesn't work on a mobile device. This takes advantage of all that of the HTML5 technologies with Canvas and rendering and drawing to the canvas. So this will display on mobile devices, on any browser that Kendo UI will display on, which is quite a wide array of browsers. So this is another aspect of, we have gauges. You know, if you're creating some kind of web dashboard, that would be great. Donut charts, lots of cool stuff. And one other thing we didn't touch on is the theme builder. So this is a theme builder for Kendo UI. And it's interactive. So if I have a Kendo UI page and I drag this up, so here I have it in my favorites bar, the Kendo UI theme builder. So if I go to one of my Kendo UI pages, so I have this Kendo UI page, and if I click the theme builder, I'm able to actively declare and make changes to what's going on. And then I can get the CSS and it'll automatically download it. So this is very cool that you're able to do this with your own application instead of doing it with some demo app, so you can actually see what's being changed. And I have full control over all the CSS styles or the CSS attributes that are included with Kendo. And then when I'm ready to export it, I just do git CSS and I can copy that down and replace my CSS classes. So another very intuitive, very interactive, user-friendly way for a user to pull down the or actively change the styles of their website and not have to, basically it's definitely WYSIWYG. And I think if I look at this, so this is an example of the grid where I can drag and drop. This is the grid example that I displayed in the slide. And I can group and sort. And again, this is all just by declaring it as a Kendo grid. And I get all of that out of the box just by saying true for groupable, sortable. And this is all client side sorting and paging and grouping. So that's about all I have for now. I guess we got 30 minutes for questions. Slides and demos are available on my, well, that's the wrong URL. Let me change that real quick. It's the right GitHub page, just the wrong GitHub project. So it'll be under Kbernel, lighten your load by adding a sort is the name of the GitHub repository. I apologize for having that incorrect in the slide. I thank you guys for coming out. If you have any questions that you'd like to direct to me offline, my Twitter handle is at kebernel. My website is .netdevdude.com, and you can reach me at keith@.netdevdude.com.